You have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 34, 2 Chronicles 34. I will be fast because I know that I'm standing between you and snow cones at the moment. So we'll be quick. 2 Chronicles 34, and while you turn there, we're going to talk tonight about seeking God. And the term seek, I think we throw it around a lot. You know, kids play hide and go seek, or what are you seeking after? But in the Bible, the word seek is it's a strong verb. I had the chance in 2019, I got... through a series of whatever, I ended up in Rome, Italy, with Chase Southard, okay? And we were in Rome, and they have all these metros out there, you know, like the subways and whatever you call them. We were getting on one of those, and somehow I got bumped, and Chase ended up on one metro, and I was on another metro. And I'm looking at him, and next thing you know, I see, like, he goes this way, and I go this way. And we don't have phones, because, you know, we're in Europe. We didn't pay for chips. I don't speak Italian. You know, I can order some pizza, but that's about it. And Chase is this way, and I'm this way. And if you don't know, I have a picture of Chase, but he doesn't pop out in Italy, if you know what I mean. He doesn't look too different. So I'm walking around showing pictures, like, have you seen this guy? Like, maybe, you know, maybe I've seen this guy. And as I'm looking for my friend, he's looking for me. That's the definition of seeking, because Chase had my backpack. He had my wallet. He had my passport. He had my stuff. I didn't have really anything on me besides a phone. So that's kind of what seeking is. I was looking for him diligently. He was looking for me diligently. Well, 2 Chronicles 34, we're going to see what happens when a young man decides to diligently seek the Lord. Let's jump into our story here. I'll be brief in reading this for the sake of time. 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Wow, how crazy is that? Who in here is 8 years old? We have an 8-year-old in the auditorium. Any 8-year-olds? All right, so Mr. Jack, you're 8 years old, or Addie's 8. Addie, you are now the President of the United States. I want you to imagine that. What a lot of responsibility. He's 8 years old when he begins to reign, and he reigned Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I like the Bible because what it does so well for us is, I'm happy that it gives us the ending of the story at the start of the story, you know, like, is this a good guy, a bad guy? We're going to find out Josiah was a good guy. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and how did he do it? He walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Notice this, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. Keep reading. In the 12th year, he began to purge Jerusalem and Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and molten images. So at the age of 16, he starts seeking the Lord. He starts looking for the Lord diligently while he was yet young. The word behind that actually means boy. Like, it can be translated boy king. So while he's an adolescent, young man, kid, he starts seeking the Lord. And the result of seeking the Lord is he starts to purge the land, getting rid of idols, cleaning things up. He's eventually going to restore the temple. Worship starts to happen again. That's what he does. Let's skip down to verse number 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, and he sent to Shaphan, the son of, I'm going to skip that name, and the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder. And what does he want to do? He wants to repair the house of the Lord his God. So he's doing things. I mean, he's seeking the Lord. He's getting rid of idols. He's repairing the temple. Notice that it says the repair of the house of the Lord his God. There's clearly a relationship with God there. They bring out the money, and a priest, as he begins to search the temple, look what happens in verse number 14. The priest finds a book of the law that the Lord had given Moses. How incredible is that? The word of God had become so scarce in those days that they found a copy of the law and they thought it was appropriate to notify the king. And look at what Josiah's response is when they bring the scriptures to him. Verse number 19. When the king had heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes. What a response to God's word. Have you ever heard something that that impacted you in such a way it causes you just to respond or do something? When he hears what God has to say about his nation, he rents his garments. And look what he says in verse number 20. He commands his men, and he asks them in verse 21, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and Judea concerning the words of this book that is found. Why? Because great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us. He believed the scriptures. And according to what the scriptures said, God's wrath was great with them at that point. Verse number 23, they go and they seek out a prophetess, which is really funny. The prophetess, this is a side note, she works in the king's wardrobe, which basically means, like, she was responsible for getting the king dressed. So I don't know where they ran off to the king's closet and like, hey, prophetess, come on out. Well, she comes out, and notice what she says about God and the king's heart. This is the heart of a seeker God lets us look into. Verse number 26. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. This is what God has to say about what you just heard. Because your heart was tender, because you heard the words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled thyself before me, and did rent thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also saith the Lord. God was pleased with the response of the seeker. And Josiah goes on to reform his nation, goes on to change things. Look at how it's summed up for him in verse number 33. And Josiah took away all the abominations of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve who? The Lord, their God. In all his days, they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for goodness and your mercy. I'm thankful for the power contained in your word. Help us be people that continue and want to seek you, Father. In your name I pray, amen. If you look at the situation when Josiah became king, it was pretty bleak when he came in. If you read 2 Chronicles 33, his dad reigned not very long because he was assassinated. And if we read about his grandfather spent most of his life not worshiping God. And the king before him, he spent most of his life not worshiping God. And at this point in Judah's history, things aren't very well. The previous king has been assassinated. Their leaders, for the most part, have all failed God tremendously. God, after chapter after chapter after chapter, reveals to us that they all failed him. They failed their people. The northern nation of Israel has been whisked out of the picture. So they're gone. They've been wiped off the map. It's not a good picture. The temple is in disarray. Notice the altars and the priests to serve God, the altars to the Lord are gone, and there's priests to strange gods all over the land. The kingdom of Judah, and this is the kingdom he inherits. He not only inherits an awfully crooked nation, but he does so at the age of 8. Can you imagine how bad of a picture this is for a country? No real leadership. The king's a boy. Things are broken. The country's spiritually bankrupt. There's no real worship happening like it should be. God is not being lifted up like he should. Passover is not happening like he commanded it to. It's a bad place to be. And that's the kingdom that Josiah inherits. But despite all the things that are seeming against the king, look at what God has to say about it and how he did it. Verse number 3, and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. What a blessing. What made Josiah different is that he decided to seek the Lord. And as I look at our country and our state and the condition of the world, it's not too pretty sometimes. We read about all the awful things happening, all the things that just seem upside down. Working with high school kids, middle school kids, there are problems I hear they never thought of. God, what are you going to do? He needs some people to seek him. What's going to change your family, your relationship, your job, your ministry, your I don't know, the issues you're going through? It's going to be seeking the Lord. And we get the opportunity to seek the Lord. Seeking God transformed his nation. And while we may not be kings and rulers of nations, may I tell you, we have dominion over things in our life. God has made us husbands and wives and children with parents over us, students. You know, I'm happy it's summer, but students. He's made us people with jobs and responsibilities. What's going to help transform that? You got to seek the Lord. What's going to make the situation better? You got to seek the Lord if you want him to work in your circumstances. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the food and the raiment, the contentment, all these things will be added unto you. We need to learn to be people that seek. Why is the one so important? It teaches kids to seek the Lord. Why do we need to study the scripture? Because we need to learn to seek the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You're looking to seek the Lord? God wants you to seek him. It is a blessing. From the life of Josiah, we're going to see three transformational truths about seeking the Lord. First thing is, let's look at the action of seeking the Lord. 2 Chronicles 33, look what the Bible says in verse number 3. In the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek. This might seem small, but seeking it is it's an action. It's something you must actively do. You don't win hide and go seek by accident, right? You just don't walk around with your arms out and you wander into the person you're looking for. When you seek, you do so actively. It must be done actively. He began to seek. Seeking simply means this, to search out. Mr. Strong's from Mr. Strong's last name, Concordance, he says to diligently look for and to try to find is how seek should be defined. David defines it for us in Psalm 63:1. Listen to what King David says about it. He says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. What else did he say? My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. When you're seeking God, you got to want it. It must be done actively. Seeking a decision that must be made and acted upon. You know, you don't seek God by accident. You don't seek God by happenstance. You seek God by deciding to. As Ezra is going to tell us in Ezra 7:10, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He prepared his heart to seek God in a decision. Seeking God begins in the heart, makes its way to the head, and it expresses itself with your hands. We must seek the right thing. He began to seek the God of David. If you notice that, look at what it says. He began to seek the God of David, his father. There's a lot of things that we have the opportunity to seek. We can seek money, finances, peace, security, nice home, nice car, good credit, I don't know, whatever it might be. But notice that he decides to seek the right thing. He begins to seek the God of David, his father. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God of the Scriptures. That's the covenant-keeping, all-powerful, all-merciful Jehovah Jireh God. That's who he decided to seek. And there, what's amazing about this is God allows us to seek him. You know, God is a spirit and necessarily doesn't have to allow us to seek him. But in his mercy and in his grace and in his goodness, he allows us to seek him. Let me say it like this. There would be no seeking God if God was not first seeking us. We have the opportunity and the privilege to seek the Lord. Romans 3:11, this is what the Bible says about it. It actually says, there is none that seeketh after God. In our fallen, human, depraved state, we're not looking for God. We couldn't find him if we wanted to without his grace and his mercy. Look at this. This verse holds in like a beautiful harmony with Luke 19:10. This is what it says. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was you and that was me. God is seeking you, and in him seeking us, he allows us to seek him. How great is it that God is knowable? We have the opportunity to know the Lord. We have the opportunity to grow in our relationship with the Lord. We can know the God of the Bible. He is seekable. He is merciful. He sought the God of David. It's just another way of saying he sought the God of the Bible. And not just that, he also sought God despite the circumstances. Look at what it says in verse number 3. He began to seek while he was yet young. You know, if there was anybody who had everything kind of going against him, it'd be King Josiah. I mean, his dad was by all definitions, a pretty terrible man, an idolater, killed lots of people who didn't deserve it, did all sorts of wrong. He was assassinated. His grandfather spent most of his life not serving the Lord. But notice that it was a child, while he was yet young, who began to seek the Lord. It was a child with the Scriptures that changed the nation. You know, Jesus says in Luke 18:16, he says, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. You know, God wants kids to seek him. Awana matters. Children's ministry matters. Nursery ministry matters. Ministry to kids matters because Jesus wants kids to seek him. It was a child with the Scriptures that changed the nation. You know what? This seeing this Awana graduation makes me mighty hopeful. It makes me happy to know that there is a generation of kids coming up who have a heart full of Scripture. And you never know what a kid who decides to seek the Lord may do. Little ones in here, keep seeking God. You never know what he's going to do with you. Take you far and use you in great ways. What's so interesting about this king is, does anybody know who his grandfather is? We got any Bible scholar, VBS point kind of people in here? Anybody know the name of the king's grandfather? His name was Manasseh. And Manasseh spent most of his life living very, very, very wickedly. He was a pretty awful guy. But at the very end of his life, Manasseh finds grace. He finds the Lord, and he turns his life around. And what's so interesting is Josiah almost lives in a perfect parallel. Manasseh teaches us that you're never too old to start serving the Lord. And Josiah lives as an example that you're never too young to start serving the Lord. And it's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful way of showing us that you're never too far gone. You're never too early to start seeking and serving the Lord. May we start seeking the Lord. But also Josiah, he sought God despite circumstances. His nation was backslidden. His family wasn't worshiping the Lord. The temple wasn't really even open. Yet he starts seeking the Lord. Don't make excuses and not seek the Lord. It is so easy to say, God, I've got this going on. Or Lord, when you remove this from my life. Or God, when you fix this situation. Or Lord, when these things line up, then I'll start seeking you. Josiah made no excuses. He sought the Lord despite the circumstances. But there's also, seeking God is not only something that we do, but it's also applied in every area of our life. Seeking God will cause you to want the things of God. Notice, says he began to purge. Well, I think it's so wild that as he began seeking God, it really started showing up in his life. When I was a kid, I went to a public school. I had these foam lunch trays. Maybe anybody here remembers it. And on the foam lunch trays, there was a message inscribed on it. It was like burned into the foam. And it said, just say no. Does anybody remember that? Anybody else have that on the lunch trays? Okay, a few hands went up around the room. Well, if you know about that, that was something that Miss Nancy Reagan did. She was long gone by the time I was a kid, but it was a just say no campaign. It was her attempt to help reduce drug dependency in America. It came from a really good place. But the only issue is, on paper, it was largely unsuccessful. Because in just telling people to say no, you don't give them anything better to say yes to. Well, as Josiah began seeking the Lord, he found something better to say yes to. You can't really purge the idols unless you find the real true God. You can't see your life change unless you find the real true God. Are you looking to clean up your kingdom, change your life, looking for forgiveness or victory over sin, idols, issues? Seek God, he's better. Seek the Lord, he's much better. As Josiah started seeking God, he quickly found out you can't seek God and serve idols. And although we may not in our homes have any real physical statues or real physical icons that we worship, let me tell you, I think sometimes we put a lot of idols in our lives. And the result of seeking the Lord is that those idols go away. The result of seeking God is ultimately things that are anti-God going. Not seeking God actually causes more sin. According to 2 Chronicles 12:14, tells us about a man who did evil because he prepared his heart not to seek the Lord. In seeking God, we find that doing sin gets a whole lot harder. Notice he says he began to purge. To purge simply means to cleanse. You can't truly seek a holy God and maintain an unholy life. As you begin to seek the God of the Bible, he starts to clean you up and work in your life. And Josiah will begin to go on to eradicate all of the idols of the land. As we seek God, may we purge our lives with the same intensity. Let me tell you, seeking God is going to fix your worship. Sometimes it's so hard to find a moment to worship, to take a moment to pause and give God the praise he deserves. Sometimes you get overwhelmed by what life throws at you. Seeking God is going to fix your worship. Josiah went to quite literal war with the idols. I mean, if you read what he did, it was kind of crazy. Burning the idols and putting the ashes on the priests of those idols, I mean, that's hardcore. That's kind of crazy. But that's the intensity and the fervor at which Josiah went against the idols. Seeking God should make us go to war with things that are anti-God. Josiah is showing us that as you seek God, your priorities and your worship begin to reflect it. And in our lives, what might our idols be? I love this definition so much by Mr. Alistair Begg. An idol is anything that usurps the place of God in our lives. It's anything that we look to as the ultimate source of our security, significance, and satisfaction. Basically, anything you love more, fear more, serve more, value more than God, if you do that, that's your idol. And as you begin to seek the Lord, you know your priorities start to kind of shift and change and realign themselves. Sometimes you can make our idols power, position, praise, payment, people, I don't know, whatever it might be. We can make all of those things idols. Only when the awe of God begins to rule your heart, you'll be able to keep the pleasures of this world in their proper place. We need to learn to seek God because He sets our priorities right. When I met my wife, I only knew Bolivia was a little country on the map in South America. But as I began to get closer to Grace, who grew up in Bolivia, I get news about their former president. I keep up with Evo Morales. I mean, I watched the guy because as I began getting closer to her, the things she liked, I started to like. She doesn't like Evo Morales, but she loves Bolivia. And as I began to get closer to her, Bolivia started becoming more and more attractive to me. Well, as we began to seek God, the things that God likes start to become more and more attractive to us. The result of seeking the Lord is you begin to become concerned with his worship. You notice that as he seeks God, the idols go, and the next the temples reopen and worship starts again. How great is that? Look at what David says about this in Psalm 63:1. God, thou art my God, earlier I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. Verse number 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so that I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. The result of seeking God is going to be worshiping God. But not just that, God, he wants to work in your life. He wants to transform your heart. Seeking God begins to change things and work for you, and it begins to help us better serve him. But seeking God will also begin to change your affections. It'll change how you live your life, but it'll change what your heart starts to want as well. God gives us a peek in this story into the heart of King Josiah. And I think this is so neat. God shows us where only he can go. Seeking God made him a student of God's word. Do you notice that when Josiah received the copy of the law and he heard it, you know what the first thing he said was? He said, go inquire of the Lord what this means for me and what this means for you. He began to want to study God's word. And as we begin to seek the Lord, let me tell you, the best way to seek God is through his word. Yes, you can go outside and look at the sky and you'll know there's a God. Yes, your conscience screams you that there is a God, but God's ultimate revelation to us is his word. That is how we seek the Lord. And seeking God made him a student of the word. 2 Timothy 3:16, I think TNT said it for us tonight. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for reproof, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. This is God's manifestation to us, is his word. The scriptures are God's revelation, our primary way of knowing the Lord. When Josiah heard those scriptures read, he wanted to know more, so he asked somebody to tell him. Let me tell you, as you seek God, read his scriptures more and more. But also seeking God made him a believer of God's word as well. When he heard the scriptures read in his ears, the first thing he did was fell to his knees and rent his clothes. As we begin to seek God, his word becomes more and more real to us. Josiah's first interaction was a message of judgment. But for the New Testament believer, as we read God's word, it becomes more real to us. Seeking God not only made him a believer of God's word, it also made him a receiver of God's word. Notice that God, when he looks into his heart, says his heart was tender. What a compliment from God. Because the heart that God works in is a heart that's tender. The heart of a seeker of God is a heart that's tender. And as we live a life and maybe we're exposed to so much truth, or we've been hurt, we're so calloused, sometimes you get a little bit of a hard heart. But the heart that God was working in, it was a heart that was tender. It was a heart that was soft. The heart of a seeker of God is a heart that is soft to the truth of God. His heart, this word tender quite literally means his heart was meek. He had a heart of meekness, and that is the heart of a God seeker. Meekness is, as Pastor Trent tells us, it's power under control. It's strength under the control. Meekness is not weakness. Rather, it is yielding one's strength to God. That is what meekness is. And Josiah submitted to the word of God. Jesus says this in Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek. As we begin to seek the Lord, as we begin to find out more about him, there's going to be things that the Lord tells us to do that our natural wills may not want to do. To do right to those who hurt you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Those are things that naturally are hard to do. But the meek person submits their will to what God would have them to do. And Jesus tells us that is blessed. He had a heart that allowed God to work in it. He had a heart that was ready to obey. He had a heart that was soft. The heart of a seeker is a meek one and a soft one. Ezra 7:10. This is the heart of Ezra, another seeker. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do the law of the Lord. May we have a heart that is soft. Adrian Rogers says, the same sun that hardens the clay melts the ice. Sometimes we come to church so much and we hear so much truth, we lose the awe of how wonderful this Bible is, the awe of how wonderful God is. Soften your hearts. If we're going to be real, true God seekers, may we seek him with a soft heart. If you're having trouble seeking the Lord, soften your heart. Zephaniah 2:3 tells us, seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. If we want to have a soft heart, let's come to the scriptures ready to do it, ready to obey it. In closing, as we reflect on how God transformed this nation, he did it with the heart of a seeker. And if he's going to change your life, if he's going to change your circumstances, he's going to fix your relationships, your job, your marriage, he's going to show himself strong on your behalf, you need to seek him. From his word, earnestly, diligently. We see that seeking God is a dynamic and all-encompassing pursuit that renews our hearts, minds, and actions. Just as Josiah's commitment to seeking God led to the restoration and revival of his nation, let me tell you, seeking God will lead to the restoration and revival of your heart, your life, your walk with the Lord. Seek the Lord. Let us wholeheartedly seek God, knowing that in doing so we will find true worship, renewed purpose, and lasting transformation. Isaiah 55:6 tells us this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Friends in the room, I don't know everybody. Some of us here are not yet believers. You need to seek God in salvation. Some of us in here, we have drifted and wandered off. Our hearts are prone to wander. May we come back to God seeking him as we go into life, as we go into college, as we go into different areas of work and ministry. Keep seeking God. He wants to work in our lives, but may we be people who decide to seek him while we can. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to seek you. God, I'm thankful for every kid in this room. I'm thankful for Awana and Children's Ministry, Lord, how we get the opportunity to put the all-powerful, eternal scriptures into the hearts of kids, Lord. I pray that they will learn to seek you. Lord, I pray for my friends in the room who are going through different trials and temptations and storms, Lord. I pray that they would leave here learning how to seek you. God, I pray that you would help us humble ourselves to seek you. Soften our hearts, Father. We love you, God. I pray that you would transform lives and relationships, Lord, ministries, marriages, Lord, whatever we're struggling with, help us seek you, Father. I love you, God. In your name I pray. Amen.